The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
Coming to you from the Carter Subaru Studio.
Welcome.
Welcome to The Big Show. Welcome to the weekend. Lots of news going on. A little later this afternoon, we'll talk about that Seahawk win last night. Pete Carroll talked about that on our sister station this morning. We'll have that for you. We've got comedian Paul Reiser is going to join us live at 1:30. And coming up at 12:30, and we're going to replay an interview from our Seahawks pregame show yesterday, because it probably touched my heart more than any interview I've ever done. And I know that's saying an awful lot, because I've had a lot of interviews that I, you know, have been really just thrilled to have been a part of. But Ursula, it was Salute to Service Night at CenturyLink Field, and this was a 96-year-old guy from Arlington, Art Unruh, who raised the 12 flag.
Nice.
Sharp as can be. Starts the interview by telling all kinds of jokes.
Love it.
And then he ends it with his life lessons, and it was just beautiful. It was, and it was so related, and he talked about how fast 96 years goes by. He was...
I saw you got a lot of response on Twitter, too, and I saw that people were reaching out to you saying they felt the same way about the interview.
Well, I was... Yeah. I mean, you know me. There's something wrong with me.
No, there's not.
In many, many ways. But I was sobbing at the end of the... Ursula, I had like stuff coming out of my nose. Oh. I'm sobbing.
Okay, so you had a whole audience out there too.
I know, and it was in front of a live crowd.
So when are you going to have them on?
12:30. We're going to replay from yesterday,
because I didn't get to hear it.
Oh my goodness! Because he ended with these life lessons, and it was so important. And we talked about service to country and selflessness, and it was just it was one of the most. I thought he was one of the most beautiful guests that we have ever talked to in all my years on the air.
So, it really is saying something.
Oh, my goodness. The response was just unbelievable. So if you didn't hear, and this guy, and you'll hear this in the interview again in about 25 minutes, but he was a tail gunner for 6 combat missions on a B-17. These are 20-year-old kids. They're going over to save the world from Hitler and Mussolini. And he's a tail gunner for 6 missions. And then he moves to waist gunner for 44 missions, which was one of the deadliest jobs in the Army. And he'll explain why in the interview. But somebody had calculated the mortality rate for every mission that these guys flew. The odds of him being alive after flying 50 missions was just 27%. So the vast majority of the people who served the way he did came home in a body.
That's incredible.
Yeah, and I'm telling you, it was, and we were just losing that whole generation.
That's the part. This is heartbreaking. Yeah.
Yeah, and I think that's one of the many reasons why I got so emotional, because I was like, I don't know how many more times. And like I said, sharp as can be, Staff Sergeant Unruh. And I just don't know how many more times I'm going to have a chance to talk to guys like this who served in World War II.
Well, I'm glad that you had the opportunity, and I'm glad that we're all going to be able to share in it.
Yeah. So if you missed that from our pregame show yesterday afternoon, because of the response we got, we're going to replay that for you at 12:30 this afternoon, because it truly was one of the most memorable and important, for me personally, interviews we've ever done. So that's coming up in about 20 minutes on The Big Show. With that as mere prelude, let's get right into The Big Lead.
The Big Lead, top story.
Oh, and before I get to The Big Lead, we're giving away Seahawks tickets this afternoon for an upcoming home game.
Yes.
And Nicole is at the forefront, the vanguard of our ticket giveaway today.
Yes.
How and when?
Keep listening, and we're going to have a password again.
Okay.
It's going to be great.
Way to sell it. What are we giving them away?
I believe it's the next home game.
No, when are we giving away the tickets to the listeners?
So you enter the password on the website when you hear it, and we'll give it away a couple times throughout the show.
Okay, so I'm going to give the password. They're going to enter online.
And then every show today is going to have a pair of tickets, so you enter our show separately. Every show you can have a chance of winning.
That sucks for our listeners.
No.
Yeah, it does.
No, it's not a combined.
Right.
Each show can give away a pair.
That sucks for our listeners.
Why?
It doesn't suck.
Because they have the slimmest chance.
No.
Because we have the most listeners.
Okay, but they can also listen to other shows.
But they'd have to enter for those other shows. But because of our dominance, there's a bigger pool of people competing for our show's tickets than those other shows.
Nothing sucks about free Seahawks tickets.
I should have taken today off.
Maybe.
Really. Okay, Darry introduced. Andrew, did you already play the Big Lead Open?
Yes.
Okay, well, then let's get right into it for crying out loud. Guns are at the forefront of the news today for many, many reasons. You may recall a couple of weeks ago, I talked to this guy who was at the Seattle Center when a man stabbed his estranged wife to death. And there was a guy nearby at the food circus at the Seattle Center named Scott Brown. And he's a concealed carry guy. And he had his gun with him. And he was able to hold the knife attacker who had just murdered his wife, allegedly. He was able to hold him at gunpoint until the police arrived. But he told me why. You know, he carries. What crossed you over to make that decision that you wanted to be a concealed carry guy?
Well, it started with hiking. I do a lot of hiking alone, maybe at night for sunrises. So it kind of started that way. I needed something a little better than a tiny knife to protect myself while I was out hiking.
Sure.
And then I figured if I had it anyway, I'm more worried about people than animals, to be perfectly honest. So I figured if I had it, why not get the concealed carry license. That way I can, have it in my car. I can have it in my person. I can have it in my backpack. If I'm hiking, I can have it exposed if I'm hiking. It just made sense just to go through and get it. Whether I decided to conceal carry around or not, I hadn't made up my mind, but I figured why not have that option.
Did you ever envision a scenario like what you encountered last Friday?
No, not at all. I never wanted to ever have to pull it out for anything.
Yeah.
I was perfectly happy with it, just there doing nothing.
But thank goodness he was armed, and he was able to hold that man until the police arrived. And we don't know what else that guy was capable of. Would he have run off? Could he have slashed somebody on his way running off? We don't know, because there was a good Samaritan with a gun. And then, at the other end of the spectrum, there was a shooting in Federal Way early this morning. A would-be car thief jumped into a vehicle. This is before 1 a.m. He jumped into a vehicle, and 29 years old, this guy, he was at a convenience store. And then the guy who owned the car pulled out his gun, shot and critically wounded the would-be thief. The thief ran off, eventually with a woman at his side, called 911 asking for medical help. He's in critical condition with a gunshot wound to his stomach. Now, we've put in a call to Federal Way Police. I want to know what's going to happen to the guy who shot the would-be car thief, because he could face charges depending on the circumstances of that. But what we're seeing more and more is people are using guns to defend themselves, to defend their property, to defend each other in that Seattle Center case, at a time when there is an absolute anti-gun mania among Seattle liberals. So a week ago Tuesday, the people of this state passed Initiative 1639, which is one of the most restrictive gun laws in the country, and is almost certainly unconstitutional. And of course, our Attorney General, Bobby Fergie, he will never say anything about leftist unconstitutional causes, because the state constitution doesn't mean much to him. It's all about political parties. I had Oliver North the president of the NRA, on my show yesterday. And we talked about 1639. And then later, after I got off the air yesterday, they filed a lawsuit against this new Washington initiative.
Quite frankly, I don't understand how, one, they plan to enforce it, and number two, how they're defining what a assault weapon is. I mean, it's nuts to me. I quite frankly don't understand it.
Yeah,
and we opposed it. We'd read through all 30 pages of it, but it seems to me it's just setting folks up for false expectations. I mean, classifying all semi-automatic rifles as assault weapons is crazy.
So the NRA, after I got off the air on this show yesterday, the NRA filed a lawsuit challenging this new initiative. The other thing I do not understand about this initiative is it raises the gun buying age from 18 to 21. It reclassifies some guns as assault weapons. It says you have to keep a gun locked up, and if somebody breaks into your house and steals it, you can be criminally liable. How many times have Tim Iman tax-cutting initiatives been tossed because they say they all have to have a single issue? And they say too often Iman conflates two or three issues within his initiative. Well, the 1639, how many different issues does it have? You got to keep your gun locked up in a certain way. We're raising the buying age. We're raising the standard of criminality. On and on and on. The NRA is going to win this lawsuit unless our state Supreme Court is so absolutely in the tank for the far left that it's just absolutely insane. So I love what this police chief in Republic, Washington. Republic is a little tiny town in kind of north central Washington. And the police chief there, his name is Lauren Culp. He went on Facebook and he said, I can't make legislation, but I can recommend it. And what he's recommending is that they ignore Initiative 1639. And I'll tell you why. And you don't have to live all the way out in Republic to understand this. But if you live in rural King County, heck, if you live anywhere and don't fall into the far left Seattle liberal agenda, maybe you're getting sick and tired of how a tiny part of the state geographically is telling the rest of the state how to live. And so the chief in Republic, he said, well, first of all, there's no way to enforce this law.
I can enforce this any more than I could enforce a law being passed that says citizens don't have the right to peacefully assemble or speak their mind or attend the church of their choice.
And that's because he cited our state constitution. Article 1, Section 24, the right to bear arms. I'll read it to you. The right of the individual citizen to bear arms in defense of himself or the state shall not be impaired. That's pretty unequivocal. So unless you're going to argue that 18, 19, 20-year-olds are not citizens of the state or somehow are not adults, then it is patently unconstitutional what the citizens voted for here. So you have a small town police chief, and he's basically saying what, you know, Seattle politicians say about our immigration laws. We're just not going to cooperate. We're going to ignore the laws we don't like. Well, if that's good for the goose,
you can't expect a police officer to trample on someone's constitutional rights.
And he said he just simply will not enforce this unconstitutional initiative.
The city of Republic will not enforce any rules or regulations that violate citizens' rights, to include the Second Amendment and Article 1, Section 24 of the state constitution, which states that the right of the individual citizen to bear arms in defense of himself or the state shall not be impaired.
Amen. Wouldn't it be nice to hear something like that from Seattle politicians? Listen to the very beginning of this again.
The city of Republic will not enforce any rules or regulations that violate citizens' rights.
Wow. Seattle does that all the time. You know, your right to not be usuriously taxed by Sound Transit. I mean, that's the whole Sound Transit taxing district. It's refreshing Glad we still have some outposts, because this is what the man says.
And if they want to use that as toilet paper, then I guess they could do whatever they want.
That's what I find the most disturbing, is our state constitution, and you know, I talked about this in context with the florist in the Tri-Cities, who, because of her Christian beliefs, said, I will sell flowers to anybody regardless of their sexual orientation. She said, but I will not participate in a ceremony that violates my fundamental religious principles. Clearly, our state constitution, go to my blog because I've written about this extensively. Our state constitution is one of the strongest when it comes to individual religious freedoms. And Bob Ferguson, our attorney general, has trashed, and or as the police chief said, uses our state constitution as toilet paper so that he can go on a leftist jihad against anybody who is politically, socially, religiously different from him. And so our state constitution must be respected, but we have a lot of people in the highest levels of power who do not respect it at all. But I will say, God bless those officials in King County who have decided to put up signs in gun shops. They say they're going to do warning signs, much like on cigarette packs. Joe McDermott of the King County Council, he is leading the charge.
If someone is in crisis and thinking about purchasing a gun, these signs will acknowledge that person, show that we as a community understand that them might be in pain or in crisis, and offer specific resources which are so important in that exact moment.
Yes, we need more signs. Hey, City of Burien, why don't you take a lesson from the King County Council? Put up signs saying, please don't shoot. The gang members will see that, and then they'll think twice before gunning down innocent office receptionists. More signs! That'll clean things up! Thank goodness we have Democrats in King County who have finally found the solution to societal ills. More signs! That is your big lead this hour.
The Big Lead on Cairo Radio.
One of my favorite interviews of all time. A Silver Star winner, an amazing combat veteran from World War II. He raised the 12 flag. And I'll replay my pregame conversation with Staff Sergeant Art Unruh next on the Dory Monson Show. One of the many blessings of my job is, as I get to host the Seahawks pre- and post-game show, I meet some incredible people. And yesterday, it was Salute to Service Night at CenturyLink Field. And the 12 flag raiser was a 96-year-old World War II vet named Art Unruh. And I was enamored with his story as I was researching to talk to him the night before. I had no idea how sharp he was, how funny he was, how insightful he was. And it just turned out to be one of the most emotionally touching interviews of my career for me. And the response was phenomenal. So let me replay for you, in case you didn't hear it yesterday afternoon, our interview with 96-year-old World War II vet Art Unruh down at CenturyLink Field yesterday afternoon. We want to welcome to the broadcast, from World War II, he had 50 combat missions in World War II. From Arlington, Washington, Staff Sergeant Art Unruh joins us. What an honor, sir. How about that standing ovation out there?
Thank you.
How does that make you feel?
That's great. That's wonderful.
You look fabulous for a 96-year-old guy. You look like you're as young as can be, Art.
Well, you know, being 96 years old isn't easy. Not easy by any means. As I come up the stairs here, I've got WD-40 sprayed on all
over. Okay, good for you.
Keep the joints going, you know. And And parts start falling off. I've got to roll the duct tape here. And okay. When I finally get up here, all I've got to say is the golden years have turned aluminum.
Okay. I was doing all this research on you. You were born in 1922. So how old were you when you went over to Europe to serve?
I was 20 years old.
20 years old.
Yeah.
Did you have any sense, Art, of what you were getting into? Because, I mean, we talk about the greatest generation. You guys literally saved the world. You saved this planet. Did you know when you went over there what you were getting into?
Yeah, we did pretty much know what was coming at us. This ugly situation that reared its ugly head over there, and Mussolini and the Hitler, and of course the Japanese. But we went over there and took care of it, and we come home and grew up.
Yeah.
And for my buddies that didn't get to come home and grow up like I did, my flag goes up every day. I will not forget them.
God bless you.
I will not forget them.
God bless you. You flew 6 missions as a tail gun.
Yes.
Was it
B-17? B-17, yes.
Can you, for those of us who aren't that conversant with the particular jobs that everybody did, tail gunner does what exactly? I mean, tell me about that.
Well, you're kind of the back end of the airplane. The airplane is 79 feet long, and you're way back in the back with 2 guns back there.
Okay.
You have to patrol that whole area behind you there that you have to take care of.
And then you move to waist gunner for 44 missions, correct?
Right.
And as I understand it, that was the most dangerous place on an airplane, correct?
There were more waist gunners were killed and wounded than anybody on the airplane.
Why is that?
Well, you're standing up, everybody else sitting down, you're twice the target.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you survived 50 missions.
Yes.
Is that you knowing when to duck? Is it your pilot being great? Is it the Lord smiling down on you? How do you survive 50 missions like that?
Well, you know, I was very fortunate that I did get through them. It's something you want to do. Up here on my hat, it says, I served with pride.
Yeah.
That's what we need in this country today. We need more pride. Back in those days, you know, it was we and us, and now it's I, me, and my over here. So things have changed so drastically that... But you went on the mission. You go out in the morning, you say, Uncle Sam, here's my life. You go up and do your mission. You come back, and he gives it back to you. Next day, you go out, here's my life again. And you just... You'd be very fortunate if you don't get hit. The 88-millimeter flak gun that the Germans had,
yeah,
there was never a finer gun ever built. That thing throws a shell, weighs 22 pounds, up to 30,000 feet, and it's done with radar. 10 to 15-minute shells every minute that they fire out of each gun. And they have 100, 200 guns on the ground, you're in a curtain of steel up there. And we bought planes back, the beautiful B-70s just butchered. There's nothing left. But they got you home. They got you home.
So what was inside of you and all of your comrades? I mean, you're talking about the service to country, about the selflessness. My dad was a paratrooper at Normandy. I never once talked to him about that. That's one of my great regrets. What was inside of you and all of your comrades that you had that selflessness and that sense of service?
Well, that started when the Japanese bombed Pearl Harbor. It started for then. You wanted to get in there and get into the fight and try to help us get through it. Yeah. Immediately, we wanted to get into it.
And like you said, maybe we're not built to that kind of fortitude today.
No.
Why do you think that is?
You know, I don't have an answer for it. And like right now, I'm trying to find some way to back up 10 years, and it ain't working. It ain't working. I'm trying to teach my chihuahua how to answer the phone, and that ain't working either.
But the question I have is, you sound like a jokester, and you like to have a good time.
I love life, and I love people.
Yeah.
I say, you know, Art, back in 2009, I thought this was fascinating. I read your kids, for Father's Day, gave you a gift, and it was a ride on a B-17. I think it was your 53rd flight or at that point. One, what feelings was that bring back to you? What was that experience like again?
Well, you know, I've had nine of those flights.
You have?
Since the war, but you get in the airplane and it's just everything just like it was when we were over there, and everything starts falling into place, and you got those things that happen to you over there, and things are happening here, and it's a great feeling. It's a wonderful feeling. Every time they had bring a B-17 to town, they wanted a World War II vet to go with the newspaper people. So I have so far got nine free rides. I got four free rides with the Sentimental Journey. They said next time I've got to use frequent flyer miles.
Yeah, there you go.
Get well, put some ice cream and cake on there.
We're losing your generation, Art, and it's been my honor over the years to talk with so many of our heroes. What's the one lasting message that, for everybody who's listening right now, what's the one message you want to impart to everybody listening about, the wisdom that you've accumulated over your 96 years?
Well, I went to school, yes. I went to school, had a little bit of knowledge. No, in the copy of my book, I wrote a book, and it came out in the year 2000. The first thing I write on the top of that book is stay well. Because if you've got your health, you've got everything. You've got everything. Secondly, be happy. Don't walk around with a chip on your shoulder all the time. Be happy and enjoy your life. Enjoy every minute of it because it's a lot shorter than you think it is. I'm at my age, I look back over my shoulder now and I say, where in the world did it go? Another thing is I want you to enjoy your freedom. As so many people have paid dearly for the freedom that we have this day. And I would say to you, take real good care of today. Because today, it's all you've got. Yesterday's gone, and it'll never be here again. Tomorrow's not here yet, and it may not even get here. You just take good care of today, and everything's going to be fine.
Talking with Staff Sergeant Art Unruh, who's the 12th flag raiser tonight for Salute to Service. You're bringing tears to my eyes here, Art. It's a beautiful talk with you, and God bless you, and I really mean that. What about raising the 12th flag tonight? How about that experience that you have ahead of you?
If I have to look up, I'm going to fall over backwards.
Okay. All right. And just what did you do with your life professionally after your service?
Automotive. I was shop foreman in the parts department. But I started out with Studebaker and then went to Packard and to General Motors. And it's been most of my life in automotive parts and stuff like that.
You've had a good life.
I've had an awesome life. That's why I'm trying to back up 10 years.
Yeah, I get that. Well, I'll repeat. God bless you, sir. Thank you for your service. Thank you for everything your generation did to save the world.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Yeah.
Sir.
Thank you.
Staff Sergeant Art Unruh.
That was our interview yesterday on the Seahawks pregame show. And, man, he got me. He got me big time. So, I just loved having the opportunity to talk with a true American hero, everybody of his generation. I told you we're going to give away some Seahawks tickets. Here's how we're going to do it. All day long, in all of our shows on Cairo Radio, you'll just be competing with your fellow Dory Monson Show listeners. This is NFL Salute to Service Month. Your purchase of Seahawks Salute to Service gear helps support our U.S. military. Go to Seahawks.com to learn more. And now, our word of the day is tackle. So all you have to do is go to MyNorthwest.com/win and enter the code word tackle. MyNorthwest.com/win. Do that by the end of the show and you'll be entered to win a pair of tickets to an upcoming Seahawks home game. The code word is tackle. The place to go is MyNorthwest.com/win. Lots more straight ahead. The Dory Monson Show rolls on. Thank you for all the really nice comments that are coming in via text and email on Staff Sergeant Unruh. It was interesting because my colleagues, I do the Seahawks with these big NFL guys, all these tough guys, and I'm just kind of a wimpy guy emotionally. And Paul Moyer afterwards, he on the air, he asked me, why did that affect you so much emotionally? And then look, Nicole was making fun of me this morning.
I was not making fun of you.
You were making fun of me.
No,
when you were listening back to it, you go, why were you crying? You asked, you ask me that question?
Well, it's mostly because I thought that he said something, so I was listening to it, and I was like, oh, I wonder what he said that made Dory cry.
No, it was the presence.
It wasn't.
It was the presence. Mm-hmm. No, and in case you weren't listening to, because I certainly don't want to make this about, you know, how emotional I am, but the reason why stuff like that has such an impact on me, first of all, I didn't, you know, really have a dad. The guy who, you know, I grew up with thinking was my dad, you know, who was gone most of my childhood, he was a paratrooper at Normandy. Never once talked to him. And we were in the same house for, I don't know, a third, a half of my, you know, 18 years. I never once talked to him about being a paratrooper. And so I've mentioned before that, you know, when you watch a movie like Saving Private Ryan and you see these guys who are 18, 19, 20 years old, they're going in to save the world. And they're knowing that there's a really good chance they're going to die for that cause and for the country. So there's that. Just, you know, the purest of admiration for everybody who served like that. And I feel the same way about the men and women today who serve in Afghanistan, because I was talking about the selflessness. And we got into that conversation yesterday. I've told you, I wish we had more political options of men and women who have served in the military, because I believe they are the most selfless among us. You don't go into the military for some big financial windfall. You do it because there is a selflessness that I think is missing in much of this country. And I don't think it was unique to the Greatest Generation from World War II, because I feel the same way about, you know, the people who we, you know, ship off to Iraq and Afghanistan today. And I think that that level of selflessness is one of the few constants, you know, in a society that, think how much we've changed since World War II. What's that been? 78 years. So more than that, 55 plus 18, 65, 73. 73 years. I mean, think of how we've changed and how people have evolved. And yet, I think there is a constant, and I think people who served then and people who serve now are selfless and put something greater above themselves. And at a time when we see so much selfishness with social media and everything else, I think that that's rare. And then, probably the thing that got me the very most, listening to a 96-year-old guy who's lived that kind of life, and he said how fast it's flown by. And I just, gosh, I relate to that. You know, I'm 57, and I can't believe how life has flown by. I can't believe it. And so when I hear a guy with that many miles behind him who's, you know, gosh, what do I have to, make it another 39 years to get to be that age, 96? And to hear him say how fast life has flown by, and then when he gave his rules for living, you know, for a great life, all of it just packed together, it just meant so much to me. So, like I said, I don't think it's about me, because I think everybody was touched by it. I just express it in a different way from most people, but I have long stopped being embarrassed of that, because I just know that's how I am. I'm just going to have to deal with that. We have a lot of cool stuff coming up. We're going to give you that code word again if you missed it, so you can win some Seahawks tickets. Comedian Paul Reiser is going to join us live at 1:30 this afternoon. And the Fastest 15 is coming up next here on the Dory Monson Show.